And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. And on our newsmakers line, Scott Golden, the newly reelected chairman of the Tennessee Republican Party, as will continue for another 2 years in his spot. And Scott, good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Steve.
Congratulations on your reelection. The unopposed version is the way to run for anything, isn't it?
It is. I was really humbled. I mean, that what that says is that the committee, my bosses, as I like to call them, there are 66 of them from, you know, Mountain City to Memphis, placed a lot of trust in me. And so, you know, we had a wonderful election cycle. Marsha Blackburn, Bill Lee, everybody's excited about it. So I think we're ready to get on to the next phase of this 2020 President Trump's reelect. So I think everybody was pretty fired up yesterday.
Well, and the Democrats in Tennessee were really pushing their blue wave. And in the House, I mean, again, as you point out, Marsha Blackburn won handily over a 10-point margin. Bill Lee won by almost 21 points or so. So it was a huge victory at those top of the ticket levels, but also picking up the three vacant congressional seats, Tim Burchett, John Rose, Mark Green, all winning those seats without any difficulty there. And despite this blue wave effort by the Democrats in Tennessee, they picked up a net gain of, what, one state House seat and nothing in the state Senate?
Correct. One state House seat. It's unfortunate. Look, I hate, you know, I'll fight you over a game of tiddlywinks, you know, so I don't like to lose at all. But we lost, you know, in Nashville, the seat that was formerly held by Speaker Harwell, down in Belmead, and then we lost a seat in downtown Knoxville that's kind of got the college kids in it, that seat, but we ended up picking up one in West Tennessee. So the blue wave, $30-40 million from the Democrats, essentially netted one state House seat. So the Republican supermajority goes from 74 to 73.
That's the kind of track record that would get you fired as a football coach. But apparently Mary Mancini is going to keep her job as chairman of the Tennessee Democratic Party. You have to love that.
Mary and I, as you know, we spend a lot of time together doing different stuff. So, you know, it's all the things, the appearances that we make. But she's very nice. You know, we have a good time together. But, yeah, that was a tough election cycle for their side. I think that, you know, every Democrat that I ran across, and, you know, Steve, you and I go back a long way in Tennessee politics. This was
turning
up.
Call me old. Just come on and insult me on my own show.
Me too. I mean, I was going to say, they stirred up kind of the Al Gore folks of 2000. You know, they had Democrats had gone dormant there for decades. But there were people that were involved that I saw, hadn't seen on the Democrat side since Al Gore was running, and they came out because they really thought that Phil Bredesen, Carl Dean, that they were going to be able to win these seats. And you know, I mean, we kept looking at poll numbers internally, and we didn't know what they were thinking. And you know, when at the end of the day, when you're Carl Dean and Phil Bredesen, and you win three counties out of 95. Shelby, Davidson, and Haywood, only three, it shows you a lot where Tennessee values are. I mean, they are conservative Republican values. What happens in Washington filters all the way down to Hole-in-Wald or Columbia or Springfield. You know, you can see it. It's showing up on Main Street.
Scott, this is Michael Patrick Leahy. Let's just face it. I think you're being a little too humble here. The Tennessee Republican Party just totally stomped the Democrats in November, and I think your leadership and your team did a terrific job in getting the message out.
You know, that was I told everybody that this weekend. That was probably my proudest accomplishment, was just sort of making sure that all the oars were in the water, rowing in the same direction. Speaker Casta's, Speaker to be Casta, his team and the effort the House guys led was fantastic. We knew from a year out which seats were going to be competitive. We made all the right choices there. Lieutenant Governor McNally has been a friend for as long as I've been in politics. He is a fantastic leader. His team has been fantastic. So all the way through, I mean, the Marsha Blackburn team, the Bill Lee team, even the existing current ones in office, Governor Haslam, everybody pitched in. Everybody knew the mission. Everybody worked hard every day, and I think the results bared it out.
So the big news, the big surprise to me, I think a huge grassroots victory, was not only that the state executive committee voted to recommend closing the primaries to the Tennessee General Assembly, the margin of victory, 45-14 for that resolution, was to me just stunning. How did that all happen?
Well, I had, after we finished up in November, I had several members. I was telling some folks yesterday that kind of the evolution of this issue, it's gone back for well over a decade, where the state executive committee has voted for a resolution to recommend to the legislature, a change in our election laws, how we do it with our open primary system. And, it started in 2008, and, I think we've taken official votes in 2010, 2014, 15, and now 2018. So about every 4 years, the group has, and it steadily made gains. But I tell you what happened this time, and particularly in Middle Tennessee, where Williamson County, you had two Democrats that were running as Democrats, I might add. So this wasn't a theoretical. They had signed up to run in one case for state representative as a Democrat, and then came out and voted in the Republican primary.
Well, and the other was running for county commission, I think, as a Democrat, right, on the same election day. He chose not to vote for himself in the Democratic primary, crossed over, and voted in the Republican primary to I guess game who was going to be his opponent in the general election.
Opponent. Yeah. So I mean, when you had some glaring examples of Democrats participating in the Republican primaries, I think the majority of the committee sort of just said, we have been talking about how we do elections in this country since the moment that Donald Trump was elected, right? Be it Facebook or Twitter or voting and illegals or legal participation in voting. I, again, the sense I got from the committee was this is a discussion that the Tennessee legislature needs to have. It was worthy for most members to vote for it, to move the discussion to the Capitol, and let's see if we can't figure out a better way to stop infiltration of the parties into their primaries.
What are the odds, Scott, that the Tennessee General Assembly will pass such a resolution and put such a law?
I think the devil's going to be in the details. So, it's not unusual that states have party registration. Arizona, Florida, Georgia, New York, Pennsylvania, all states that do it already. We are just one of the few that don't. The question is, when does it take effect? When do you have to have registered? How do you treat independents? Are independents allowed to vote in either primary? So really what you're doing is if you sign up as a Democrat, you can't participate in the Republican primary and vice versa. I think that's going to be the real discussion on Capitol Hill is what does this look like? Senator Poti, to his credit, has already has this bill. He's had it for years. I think Representative Sheila Butt, before she left, I think she was a sponsor of it several years ago. So this legislation's been introduced. It's just getting it through and having the deep dive discussion of what other states are doing and which model do we want to adopt.
It would require, I guess, to some extent, everybody would have to re-register to vote. And I think that's part of the chaos that people want to avoid, that, there ought to be a simplified way to simply designate what party you're registered with without everybody having to go through the online process and make the Secretary of State have to deal with X million Tennesseans re-registering to vote.
Well, I think the way that Senator Poti has his legislation is that once you voted, that would become your party of registration. So if you showed up at the I guess our next one, by the way, will be the presidential primary of February of 2020. I guess theoretically you could be running Republican primary for property assessor, which, well, I guess that would be on the same ballot in 2020. So you're voting for Donald Trump or the 30 or 40 Democrats that are running for president.
The cast of crazies.
Yes, exactly. So I think by that you just have an R or D next to your name, I think is the way that they've tried to work it. But again, that's a lot of the discussion that the legislature is going to have to look at. And, you know, I think what we did Saturday was just move that discussion along and say, we actually did some other resolutions that I think were pretty impactful as well. One of them.
Yeah, if you got a couple of minutes to hang on, we'll do another segment and talk about the other resolutions. And also, you know, if kind of like in sports, putting on the opposition research, if you had to be the chairman of the Democratic Party, who are your prospects to run statewide? I mean, you just had two of your premier candidates get completely dusted with millions of dollars. You got Andy Burke down in Chattanooga, liberal. Madeline Ruggiero, liberal in Knoxville as the mayor. You've got Kim in Clarksville, the mayor of Clarksville that was seen as a rising star, got beat in her mayoral reelection. When we come back, we're also going to ask you, if you had to flip to the other side and figure out, okay, where do you go from here? What would you do if you were on that side? Just kind of study the game films from the other side. Scott Golden, Tennessee Republican Party chairman, with us. We're going to talk about some of the other resolutions the state executive committee passed when we come back in a moment.
Tennessee Star Report.
Welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Go to TennesseeStar.com, TennesseeStar.com on the web. You'll find links to some of the stories we're talking about today. Also, Tennessee Star on Facebook. Joining us on our newsmakers line today, the newly reelected chairman of the Tennessee Republican Party, Scott Golden. And Scott, I asked you just before we broke, and we want to talk about some of the other resolutions that the state executive committee passed over the weekend. But if you were on the other side, the cupboard's pretty bare. If you're a Democrat looking to run somebody statewide, you've got liberal mayors in Knoxville and Chattanooga, Andy Burke and Madeline Ruggiero. You had Kim McMillan, who was the mayor of Clarksville, got defeated in her reelection bid. You got Lamar Alexander's up for re-election in 2020, and putting aside for a moment whether there may be a primary challenge there, who do the Democrats run as a statewide candidate?
That's a great question for them. And of course, both the mayors of Chattanooga and Knoxville are on their way out. So, what happens is anytime somebody's leaving, the candidates behind them are saying, well, let me tell you what was insufficient about their tenure, right? I want to be mayor of Chattanooga because Andy Burke didn't do X. So you end up going through a year of that process. So, yeah, I don't know where the Democrats go. You know, they're left with five state senators and 25 state House members. And of course,
Megan, I really love my security detail, Barry, the former mayor of Nashville.
Yeah, I can't imagine her situation selling to a statewide audience of, you know, well, that's what I was going to say. Out in the more conservative counties, you know, we have started the process of picking up all of, you know, we added nine new Republican county mayors of 95 counties. So, you know, theoretically, you could start looking at a mayor of Rutherford or Williamson County or Sumner County, but they're all Republicans now. So it's, you know, where do you go if you're the Democrats? I mean, I guess there's somebody out there that wants to do it, but this is the problem that they have. They have a macro problem, is that anytime you say that you're a Democrat, you are associated with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris,
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Exactly, which apparently I saw yesterday that her election was equivalent to the moon landing. Somebody that was on.
It was a big deal.
I hate it for the Democrats. You know, they did a great job in the 90s when they would say, well, wait a minute, I'm a blue dog Democrat, so that means that I'm different than the national Democrats. Well, those days are done.
Yeah, there aren't any of those folks left. Now, and the Republicans got smart, too. I mean, they elected conservatives to the state executive committee, which is why you saw the executive committee over the weekend pass an effort to close the primary process. But the state executive committee passed another couple of resolutions as well that were kind of important.
Yeah, one of them was to raise a suggestion. These are all suggestions to the state legislature, but to raise the number of signatures required to seek office. If, you know, when everybody went in to vote, you saw that there were 21 independent candidates running for governor. So you had Carl Dean, Bill Lee, and 21 people that no one had ever heard of before.
Because you only had to have 25 names on a petition to qualify to run.
That is correct. For every office in the state of Tennessee, the number is 25. And you know, you get it. I mean, it's unfortunate, but what happens with these candidates is a lot of them are they put their name on the ballot because they want to see their name on the ballot, or because it's a YouTube PR stunt, and it really ends up taking away the focus from the people that are actually going to be making the decisions for your life. For our purposes, a Republican Party, you know, we have our bona fides, which is, you know, one of the things that was discussed during the open-closed primaries. Currently, as it stands, state law requires both the Republican and Democrat parties to have standards. So what happens for us is with 25 signatures, people say, well, I'm going to run as a Republican. And they go get their 25 signatures and they're on the ballot. Well, you know, they've never voted Republican. They don't go to any Republican meetings. They've never supported the Republican Party. And you know, they're able to run because the number to participate is so low. So we asked the legislature to fix that. We've got some other ones that we've got to do at the next meeting. One I think you will agree with is that we would like to have the registration deadline for new voters move back not 30 days before the election, but 30 days before early voting.
Which makes sense.
Makes sense.
That's when the election really begins. What about runoff, Scott? I mean, I don't have a problem with the voter registration. I think a lot of Republicans, particularly conservatives, have a concern that Democrats are crossing over. I see a bigger problem in terms of moderate Republicans winning elections, because you'll have a moderate run and three conservatives and they divide the vote and somebody becomes the Republican nominee with 27% of the vote. In a lot of other states, you have to get 50% plus one, which then gives you a runoff where the best or top vote-getting conservative against a moderate in many cases, you then have conservatives having a chance to coalesce behind a conservative candidate. To me, if you want to elect more conservatives, that's the better route rather than closing off the primary.
We saw it in Georgia. I think most notably in Alabama, where, you know, we saw where we lost, the Republicans lost a U.S. Senate seat. They certainly have runoff elections. So that, for us in Tennessee, I think that might require it. I mean, certainly a statutory change, but possibly even a constitutional change, because the deadlines are sort of set when we have these elections. So then you would look. I think this is the whole point of what the SEC was talking about over the weekend. Was there are. We have had very little substantive election reform since most of these laws were written in the early 70s. So you're looking at a half a century where, you know, even in the 70s, you were writing names on a piece of paper and sticking them in a ballot box, right? Now we've got electronic. There's a lot more flexibility into what we can do on election. You know, it's not quite as cumbersome and labor intensive to do a runoff election when you just enter in a computer program and everybody shows up, presses a button and goes home, as it was maybe 50 years ago where, you know, you're dragging ballots and you're counting them by hand. So I think that was the whole message of this weekend's meeting, was let's take a look at how Tennessee does this. Are we doing it the best way possible? And if not, let the legislature come up with a better model.
Scott, this is Michael Patrick Leahy. He just gave some new information there that I wasn't familiar with. And so the proponents of a runoff have told us that the runoff can be done just by the state executive committee action. But you've just said that you think the runoff would require not only a statutory change, but possibly a constitutional change. Are you 100% sure of that, or is that something that's...
The question, you know, one of the intricacies of our ballot is you know, why do we have an August election on Thursday, right? And it's actually in state law that that's, you know, in August we vote on Thursday, and every other election we vote on Tuesday. And I can't remember if that's statute or if there's a provision in there for in the Constitution that kind of requires that. It's an anomaly. You know, not many elections are held on a Thursday, but we do it in Tennessee. Any election change requires the state legislature. The state executive committee has no authority to tell the administrator of elections in 95 counties how they're going to do their job. Ultimately, that's because it's funded by either the state or the counties. So it would have to be state law that changes all of these things.
Yeah, and the question is whether or not it would require a constitutional amendment as well if you wanted to go to a runoff.
I don't know about that. The only reason why I say this is there was another resolution that we passed calling for kind of a fix. If you guys are familiar, we're going through Senator Norris, now Federal Judge Norris, was appointed or confirmed by the U.S. Senate 45 days before his election. And the Constitution of the state of Tennessee says that if you're a state senator and you got 2 years out, you have to be elected at the next election. Well, he was the state law says that if you're inside of 45 days, it's a runoff campaign. A write-in campaign. Anybody can write in any name for a state Senate election that would serve for 2 years. Of course, that conflicted with another state law that says that if you wanted to be a write-in candidate, you have to notify the election commission 50 days out that you're going to be a write-in candidate.
So, well, and technically, you could have somebody pass away and have a one-week snap election. I mean, under the way that the interpretation of the within 45 days was running.
That is correct. That is correct. But see, that's a constitutional requirement. So ultimately, that's what won out, was the Constitution says this is how we have to elect state senators. So they were... Fortunately, Senator Norris, soon to be Federal Judge Norris, said he would resign after the election, so we could have a special election.
Just get it done a little bit easier, Scott.
Scott
Golden, thanks for being with us. We'll catch up with you again soon, and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We appreciate you both.
We'll be right back. This is the Tennessee Star Report.